This is not a Supercell problem, but there's also business reasons why you're going to want to sometimes spike revenue during certain times of year, especially when you're like considering UA budgets and that type of thing, right? Like you might be okay with a hangover effect in February or whatever, you know, or vice versa, maybe not. So outside of those like core monetization and economy changes, there's been some really strong social features. So they have new 5v5 game
this
mode.
Is no bullshit gaming podcast, 2.5 gamers. Sharing actionable insights, dropping knowledge from our day-to-day user acquisition, game design, and ad monetization jobs. We are definitely not discussing the latest industry news, but having so much fun. Let's not forget this is a 4 a.m. conference discussion vibe, so let's not take it too seriously.
Jump in on the intro, Monte, but do you want to or do you want me to?
I think, you know, what can we do? Like, we can jump straight in. My name is Matej Lančarič. We have Jakub, we have Jake, and we have Ken. And this is another crossover episode because you love it, we love it, and it's always fun. Yeah. Before we start, Ken, can you give us a little intro from your end, because you are the mysterious guy.
Yeah, I'm Ken Landon. I'm a director of product at HitFactor, which is a Web3 gaming company. And previously, I've worked at Kongregate, at Scopely, at Activision Blizzard, working on mobile games, PC games, console games, and I'm a big Brawl Stars fan. If you guys can see the video, I have a Brawl Stars hat on and lots of Brawl Stars swag.
But, so, yeah. Monte, I don't think we really established what we're talking about, so maybe I can just jump in?
Yeah, go on.
Guys, so as a lot of you guys know, we did a crossover Monopoly Go on Monopoly Go profitability. Controversial. So given how successful that was, we wanted to cover a topic that is not so controversial, which is Brawl Stars is going freaking nuclear, right? Or it did. Yeah. Now, we expect that from like, you know, Christmas kind of push, things like that. But we have not seen the kind of numbers that we have recently seen in Brawl Stars since 2020, 2021, and like 2022, 2023, Brawl Stars kind of started going down. We'll talk about that. But what we want to talk about today, the whole focus of this discussion is like, you know, WTF is going on with Brawl Stars. There's a lot of stuff that is going on at Supercell. They talked about structurally changing live ops. And it's very surprising for a game that's this long lived to have the kind of huge boost that we've seen in a game that like Brawl Stars. So that's why we have brought on two of the 2.5 gamers.
Yes.
I'm going to assume Felix is only one
he's
half.
He's the half gamer, so yeah, we switched his non-gaming appetite for you guys because you know what you're talking about.
Right.
And also Brawl Stars zero ads, so you know, he will be just sitting here and smiling.
Right. For now.
Look at that. Okay, interesting.
And we brought Ken on because he knows, you know, like he's bringing the product management expertise, having worked at the companies that he talked about. I'm here more for, you know, laughs, and I haven't played Brawl Stars that much, but also just to like keep things a little bit lively and entertaining, and just to set the structure so you know what to expect. We're going to basically talk about the performance of the game. I'll cover some information from data.ai that talks about the revenue, things like that. We'll go into a product, kind of, you know, I don't want to call it a deep dive or a master class, but, you know, we'll go deep on the product.
Masterclass and Brawl Stars, yeah.
Because we've got, you know, two of the 2.5 gamers here, we'll talk about the marketing and UA, and then generally talk about the long-term outlook and conclusions. And we can share screen today, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Right. You have to.
You have to, yeah.
So
this is a visual podcast. We need to
By the way, whoever thinks that I have Brawl Stars currently running on an emulator, so whoever needs like direct Brawl Stars kind of game in between his speaking, just tell me. I will share it anyway later down the line.
Okay.
Yeah, you should play. We need to see how you suck at Brawl Stars as well.
How many trophies do you have, Jacob, on your emulator?
What?
How many trophies
do you have? Seven. Shit, once. Like.
Yeah, there you go. You know, this is not your main account, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
All right. So I think we could dive into performance, but before there we do, is there anything else we want to tee up for the conversation today for our audience?
No, I would tease, like, usually when we talk about the, like, game growth, it's product updates and UA. in this specific case, you know, as you know, Supercell, it's not going to be that much about the UA rather than the product side of the equation.
But are they ramping up UA, or do you think
they're running some new things. I'm going to talk about that. But like, since they started making changes, it wasn't like that impactful for the growth.
So sorry to budge in, but isn't this whole thing pretty much completely powered by influencers? I keep like watching, you know, Supercell's literally like main influencers. They have the dev builds, literally the dev builds of the game to show off all that stuff. And each of those videos has like 300,000, half a million views with every single update and everything. Mm. So my guess is that their UA per UA is like completely driven by this community.
Like you remember that. what we always discussed when there was a new game in soft launch or closed beta. All the same Supercell influencers were talking about it and bringing like everything up. Almost zero, like traditional, let's call it traditional UA.
Yeah, that's the new age we live in. Influencers are the new marketing, right?
And so for Supercell, like, you know how it is.
But the thing is, like, the point I want to make here is that these guys aren't just like, you know, let's make a video about this game. These guys have access to dev builds. Like the literal dev builds of the game to show up. Like, for instance, I was looking at all the hypercharge abilities because the guy was just showing them on the screen with just target dummies. And you don't get this thing as a normal person.
Well, yeah, cool. But, you know, I also had the dev build for our recording. So, you know, it's...
Really?
Yeah, of course. All right. No, I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding.
Of course he's kidding.
I had test flight. I mean, it's almost like a dev build.
I'm gonna try to share my screen so people know what we're talking about. Do you guys see? Okay, here we go. So first, sponsored by data.ai. No, so we got some data from data.ai. And basically, can you guys see my screen? I can't see it.
Not yet. You need to click on the on the share button and then on the actual tab.
It is not working.
Like right share here at the bottom, screen, there's like the leave button window? And share.
Yeah, share.
Yeah, pick a window or a screen.
Yeah, or tab in the browser.
No, there seems to be an error. Let me send this to you.
I have I have Sensor Tower, so I can actually do that.
Sponsored by Sensor
Tower now.
I just put the slides in the or the screenshots in Slack if you wanna.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting errors on my side.
Oh well. Yes. Okay. One sec. You need to click share, then share, and
I did that. I actually did that.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
You see these, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah, so basically when we look at the data, we can see that there was a big change. So in like 2020 and 2021, we can see, I think this is a revenue graph, but could you also share the downloads graph?
Yep.
So I think downloads were between somewhere like 1 and 1.5 million on a weekly basis. But then in 22 and 23, downloads dropped by half or so. And if you can go back to the revenue slide, similarly, we see like a much lower baseline with weekly revenue roughly around like 6 to 8 million in 20 and 21, and then dropping to about 2 to 4 million in 22 and 23. But you can see like the game has not had like a $12 million net revenue week since May of 2021, and we've seen this big spike. And so I think, as I mentioned earlier, we would typically expect a big holiday spike from, you know, kind of Christmas, New Year's, that kind of thing. And we've seen that over the past couple of years, but not to this level. And so, like, I've got three big questions for this group, which we can kind of come back to as we close this discussion. But the first is, like, this recent spike, what do they do? Like, how is this spiking compared to the past few years? Second, there's been a lot of talk by Ilka, Supercell CEO, about how they are going to be changing how they do live ops. And so this approach to live ops, is this like change because of the bigger changes that we've made? Is this going to be a structural change? And then third, can we expect a higher baseline? Now we're starting to see the drop as we would expect from a holiday push.
Yeah, but wait a second. Look, I have all three games because I was also looking into it because December was amazing for all the games. If we compare November, Clash of Clans 30 million, Clash Royale 19, and Brawl Stars 12. December, like Clash of Clans 57, Brawl Stars 20, which already surpassed Clash Royale with 19, And if you look at January, which is...
Okay. So you're looking still, on a monthly basis, right?
Yeah, this is monthly. Yeah.
Yep.
This is monthly. Mm-hmm. So Clash of Clans is 37 and then Brawl Stars 29. So up by 9 million. And I think like we are going to see maybe one or two more millions coming in when the data for January is going to be closed.
Okay.
And it's like by what, like 40% more than the Clash Royale for January? It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This nice. Game's for real, right?
Yeah. It's happening. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's like the data. I thought we could probably shift into the game itself and things like that. But is there any other comments or thoughts about the data from you, Mate, or Jacob, or Ken?
If you can return back to that penny graph, the ones is more granular, the JK well, share.
I can just do
or you can
by,
just put it there.
Yeah.
Like, just what I day. Wanted to mention for people not really following this, and I guess Ken can support me on this one, is that I think Brawl Stars is like the most kind of game that went the most drastic design changes throughout its life cycle. It was nearly killed in soft launch. They literally changed the game from portrait mode to landscape, like last whatever patch. Yep. They completely changed the gacha system, because before they would have this kind of a, let's say, very shallow gacha system where you would get like solid tokens, where you would just get the brawler and there's nothing to it. You just have it and every duplicate of the brawler would just give you soft currency, which didn't work out, of course. Everybody was saying that. And then the other very important change which happened in 2022 was they removed random loot boxes from the game, which also pretty much kind of doubled down on the decline of the game, which I think Javier read an excellent article on this, where he literally said that like it like destroyed like 14% of the baseline and just
he said like it bumped up the revenue, but then it declined quite heavily.
Yeah. So
Franks actually are planning a talk at the upcoming GDC about that and how it was really bad for their business. So it'll be interesting to hear.
Okay.
That.
Right. And Jacob, to your point, I think that's one of the stories that's pretty famous in terms of how Brawl Stars nearly got killed. And it was true from what I've heard that a lot of the executives and management team did not believe in the game. And the only folks that believed in the game was the actual development team, but they believed in it so strongly that they were given the license, the authority to kind of keep going. And it's a good thing that they did. It's definitely a good lesson learned for other people in the industry to learn about. It's like, how do you make these product decisions? Maybe a talk for another podcast, but how do you actually do product validation and how do you make that kind of go, no go decision? But anyway.
Another bit of information about why the revenue dropped off so much in 2022 is that they pulled out of Russia, and Russia was accounting for a very large portion of their install base and revenue base. So,
oh, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a pretty meaningful part of their business. And now they no longer have access to that portion of their business.
Got it. All right. So maybe we could shift to product and we'll talk about Brawl Stars as a game. And I thought that I could, before handing it off to Ken, because Ken's like the more seasoned guy and he's got like a lot of experience with Brawl Stars. But I thought it might be interesting to even get, a guy like myself who's more like product strategy oriented. And I just started playing Brawl Stars. I haven't played that much, but I can kind of give you that kind of new perspective playing for the first time. I played it years ago for like a few minutes, but then that's about it. And I think the first thing that I noticed when I was playing Brawl Stars is that the game does have like that trademark Supercell simplification. I mean, the main screen is, I would say, relative to like the Clash games, more dense.
Cool. I think you can share the screen and
feel free to give it to me.
Yeah, but I think we still find a relatively tight core loop for what they are trying to do with like 8 different game modes. So it's about as tight and simple as I think you can get relatively for all the features that they have packed in. And from my perspective, I would say that the gameplay itself is, in my opinion, relatively simple with a heavy orientation towards micro with almost zero macro gameplay. So it's, from my perspective, it's all about abilities, ults, differentiated brawlers. And you do have some, the kind of like the basic micro concepts around ability, CC, kiting, all that basic micro stuff. So it's, again, relatively simple. But in my opinion, the complexity comes not in so much in the micro itself, but you know, and again, there's no macro, but rather in the gameplay modes. And I think that's where they make the game a little bit more interesting by having all those different modes, different ways of playing. The maps are basically flat with obstacles. You don't have like macro types of maps with like lanes, minions, towers. There's no, as far as I could see, early, mid, late game objectives, no damage types. And so there is, I believe there was some notion of like a range versus melee and different kinds of range abilities. And you do have some micro notions of like gap close for melee characters and things like that. But otherwise, not super complex micro. And again, almost no macro as far as I can tell. So for me, again, this is like the new player perspective. Where the game shines, in my opinion, is just letting players play with variety in the modes and easily with friends in the way they want to play. So solo, duos, threes, fives, just having a bunch of different modes to keep things interesting and fresh. And I've really been, you know, a huge believer in the thesis behind enabling co-op game experiences. And I think, like, especially through COVID, that's been like a kind of gameplay experience that a lot of gamers, especially younger gamers, are used to and looking for. But from my perspective, you know, that's really where the magic of Brawl Stars comes in. Also, games are really fast, especially when you start. It's basically instant matches, which I believe is clearly because of bots. And then matches can drag a bit as you get to higher ranks. I suspect they're using some kind of hybrid in terms of bots as you get higher up in the ranks. I don't know. I haven't played enough. But I would say compared to a MOBA like a League or Wild Rift, you know, the game is like, you know, a 3 out of 10 in terms of complexity if a MOBA like Wild Rift is a 10. But that may be appropriate for mobile, right? And I think there's probably a bigger discussion we could have on another podcast about micro versus macro and why is like RTS not popular anymore relative to like MOBAs and for mobile, you know, is a game like this more appropriate for, you know, again, less macro, more micro, that kind of thing. But I would say that it seems like, you know, they've really kind of nailed it in terms of the balance that they've struck and kind of what they've done with the game. So anyway, that's my new player perspective. And go ahead, Jacob.
No, just like one thing, because I can guarantee that Matty doesn't know what micro is. So if you can explain that.
Okay. No, it's like okay, so let's see, like when should I ask? What the fuck JK is talking about? What's micro versus...
Yeah, it's like, common MOBA terms, but yeah, please JK do.
Okay.
So maybe we'll get there.
Micro is like your actual gameplay, controlling the character, moving around, shooting, all of the, like controlling the character. Macro would be more like things like in a MOBA, it'd be like your itemization strategy. It would be your lane strategy. Like, when do I shift from this lane to another? Do I gank or not? And so it's like when you're collecting money and you're thinking about which towers to take down, it really comes from the old RTS days where, you know, the macro side was like you're building the base, you're trying to decide what units to build. The micro is when you're actually like fighting other enemies and stuff. And
how
so
you can click.
And so an important concept behind the balance between micro and macro is really about, you know, kind of like, you know, the amount of complexity that you're introducing into the game, right? Because if you have to keep, so there's a theory that in RTS games today, that the current audience, it's just a little bit too much for them to keep all the macro and the micro. Like, you got to be juggling a shit ton of stuff in your head.
In your head, yeah.
Right, like managing all this. And like, oh, yeah, I want to make more units here and this and that. And then these guys are coming here. And, like, managing all that may be, like, too much complexity.
Too complicated. Yeah, okay.
So, and especially for mobile, I think simpler, having a heavier progression orientation. So that's another thing that I see in Brawl Stars is that they do have more stateful progression, which is a little bit different from a MOBA, but I would say appropriate for mobile, right? But anyway, those are like, again, my new player perspective. And by the way, I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised at how fun and good of a game that they executed Brawl Stars. So I think that's pretty cool of them to make a game that's so, you know, so good. And I think they did a great job, and it's good to see them kind of pushing it more. But let me now hand over to Ken, who actually knows this game well.
Knows what's up.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you say that there's not very much macro, because I feel like there's definitely not at the early parts of the game, but there is, like, the more you progress
you play,
through.
Then you can cover more. Okay.
Yeah. And I think both myself and maybe the developers see the game more as a FPS than they do a MOBA.
Right.
Just because there is a lot of micro, and there is a lot of moment-to-moment gameplay that is very action-oriented and, like, more twitchy and shooty versus what you're thinking of as, like, pre-planning and reaction.
And Ken, to your point, I think that would be a smart choice, right? If you have a bunch of game modes, then to, like, introduce what's called progressive complexity, right? Like, as you develop more in the game, then you might have some game modes that introduce a little bit more macro. Look, I play for half a day. So again, I'm just giving that new player, I'm giving that new player perspective, by no means am I an expert in Brawl Stars at all, right? I just know product and strategy, that's it. So.
Yeah, JK, you need to play more than half a day, usually. Yeah, we'll play like for a week when we try to review a game. Well, I play for a week. Yaku plays for a week.
I knew you guys were going to be on, so I was like, I'll just lean on those guys.
you pulled out Felix. Like, he does this. Usually.
I think on my whaling account, I have like 10,000 trophies. That's probably like a few months of gameplay. In my free-to-play account, I have, you know, 6 months to a year of play and 20,000 plus trophies. There's a lot more long-term experience.
So why do you have whale account and free-to-play account? It's because of different player experience?
As a product manager, I'm trying to, you know, deconstruct the game. I want to understand the nuances between different personas.
Do you listen to this? Because this motherfucker is never paying anything. He's like, oh well, I want to have just free to play experience. Like, but where is that? Like the other part of the equation? You need to also have the.
Yeah, Ken's right here. Like, Ken's right. I should be spending more in games to have like a different account experience.
Thank you.
Make Mate pay for it. You know, the expense account.
Thank you.
Fair enough. I just want to say, like, we need to have you on the podcast more, but now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, so far as like a deep dive into the actual changes that could have contributed to this huge uplift in revenue, you know, during the November-December timeframe, the big things that kind of stand out to me just off the bat, both as a PM and as a player, are, you know, they've added new monetization verticals. They've really gone after their economy management, and they've made massive changes to some of their current monetization mechanics to kind of shore up their economy. They have new IAP tech in the store, so like new types of offers that they didn't have before, which also includes access to random chances. So they can, you know, they've sort of brought back the gacha without it being a gacha. Super heavy winter sales. I don't have great screenshots of this to share with you guys, but they were heavily discounting some of their legendary brawlers and mythic brawlers during December. And then also more on the live ops side, they have super focused social events, which we can share some screenshots of in later on. But going back to like new monetization verticals and economy management, well, the biggest thing by far that will be apparent to players and apparent to PMs is this change to the Brawl Pass, which Jakob's showing off right now. Yeah. The first thing that jumps out at you is, on this screen, you can see that the purchase button for both of these offers is now in, you know, fiat currency only. There's no gem currency purchase option. So players who were free to play previously who had stocked up gems were, you know, able to buy these passes, and now they can't. Yeah, so that's a huge deal. So this is the primary IP for the game. You know, like the highest amount of conversions are likely on this IP, and you know, huge changes.
We can actually check that. Yeah, go on. I will check it on the backend.
Yeah, no worries. You know, additionally, they've made changes to the structure of this Brawl Pass. They've pulled out the main brawler from the Brawl Pass, so you can no longer earn the main brawler from the Brawl Pass. Jakob, you know, and I were talking before the podcast, and he mentioned that you can still earn brawlers in the Brawl Pass through this Star Road currency that they grant you. If you have all of your Star Road complete, you know, that will different story, but you're already not caring about the brawler in there. They've also more heavily dropped in skins inside. So you can see that this Brawl Pass has two very heavily detailed skins with lots of different, you know, animations and PFX that are like thrown in on top of it. You have custom models, custom effects, custom textures, etc. The previous one, I think, had three, maybe more skins attached to it. So there's just a lot of new cosmetic content inside of here.
So, quick break, yeah. And a question for all of you: like, what do you think is the most purchased item in the game? And teaser, it's not the battle pass.
You're checking the analytics there.
Yeah, I know, I'm checking.
I mean, for this kind of game, and again, I don't play. I've only played for half a day, but for this kind of game that's champ oriented or brawler oriented, I would assume it's a direct purchase of brawlers.
Yeah, it's actually like 170 gems.
It's a gem purchase.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the skew.
Yeah.
Rather than what they spend on the skew. Well, Ken, maybe I could ask you a question. Yeah. Like, usually for these kinds of games, they'll release a new brawler or champ or whatever that's broken, and then they'll nerf it later. Is that the strategy here too? Is that how they monetize this game?
My game design friends on the team would not be happy with me saying this, but that's absolutely what happens. That question around what SKU is selling the most is like a trap at the company, because the answer to most PMs is, oh, it's the Brawl Pass, but it's because the Brawl Pass used to be a gem SKU and now it's IP SKU. So I wonder if that's changing now that it's IP SKU.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. This is just like all time or like some last whatever.
By the way, can we talk about like this kind of a notion here? Because I think it's kind of missing the point here. Because if I remember correctly, the Fortnite documents that were revealed during the lawsuit said that Fortnite is making only 16% of revenue from the pass and actually 70% from the store. And if I remember reading out like stuff around like battle passes and, you know, stuff around these things, is that there should not be your main monetization kind of a...
It's more like,
you know,
an engagement.
Engagement, because in the end, as you see even here, like, they are the biggest discount in your economy, and we like all know how it went well for Clash Royale when they introduce you know, like a season pass mechanic into it. So do we think that currently, regarding the overall revenue, especially those big spikes that we've seen lately, this is mostly coming from Brawl Passes, like percentage of overall revenue?
I think there's just so many different revenue verticals that it's hard to point to one as being the cream of the crop, the biggest one. You know, they've also, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but they've also increased the progression depth quite a bit on each of the brawlers, or on a bunch of the brawlers, through hypercharges, which is a huge coin sink. And they're releasing those at a similar monthly cadence. So in the data, it'll be very difficult for us to pick out whether or not it's hypercharges that are pushing on revenue, if it's these passes that are pushing on revenue, or if it's specific IP offers.
Jacob, I would probably think that you're right, that like if they just introduce the hypercharge, my understanding of hypercharge is like a double
power
bolt.
Progression layer, if I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just, yeah. Then I would assume it's brawler direct purchase and trying to get that hypercharge would be my guess. It's driving most of the revenue.
Yeah, again, it's quite a bit.
Just from a strategic perspective, I would guess, not from playing.
Back on the Brawl Pass, they've done a few other interesting things from an economic standpoint. If you open up the Brawl Pass and scroll all the way to the end, they've changed the final unlock. So you now get random star drops instead of set currency. So previously, when you went past the maximum tier, I think it was like 50 coins, 50 like upgrade points, and 10 of the Star Road currency for every single additional level. So you can inflate your economy significantly just by pushing on that Brawl Pass. Now, because they have star drops there, which we don't know the full drop rates because it's not a purchased item, they can significantly control their economy that way by throwing in cosmetics there. They can do all kinds of stuff. You know, but basically they're reducing the total amount of currency through that if players push past 50. Now, I've heard anecdotally from like their Twitter accounts and stuff that they've talked about publicly that there's actually more free currency for free-to-play players here, which is one of the ways they kind of managed the social aspect of changing this from a gem store or a gem purchase option to a cash purchase option. But yeah, that's kind of like a different story because it's in the past versus after the past.
I watched a few videos and the guy was literally telling like there's 30% more stuff regarding for free-to-play players in the past now. There's even gems which were not there, or let's say the gems you were used to kind of consume into the next pass, so now you actually have like hard currency out of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that like overall some kind of, you know, 10 to 15% increases regarding the currency on free-to-play side.
I remember there was a lead at Supercell who did a talk, I forgot who it was. But I think they were talking about Clash of Clans, and they mentioned that they wanted to intentionally move to a monetization strategy that's lower ARPU, higher conversion.
And, I mean, Aino had that talk about.
Oh yeah, I think putting... so. Yeah, I think that was. Yeah, that's right. And so I do think like that. So what you guys are saying makes sense to me. Like if you can help support more, you know, free players, but also entice them somehow to at least convert a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so very good talk, by the way. I really recommend.
Oh yeah, it's like, excellent.
Main thing about like how they move the player base from lower town halls into higher town halls by like kind of rearranging the economy and putting a battle pass system on top of it. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Like, search it out.
Yep,
you can put it in the show notes. Yeah, actually, yeah. Easier.
Yeah, but we've already sort of hinted on hypercharges, but you know, they're an additional progression tier that is unlocked at the brawler's maximum level. So you have to go from level 10 to level 11 now, and it unlocks for an insane amount of coins. It's 5,000 coins per hypercharge, which I think is like $20 or $30 if you want to buy it outright. They often discount that in sales inside of the store, so you can sometimes pick them up for like $8 or $9, but it's a significant amount of new monetization for the game. There's 76 brawlers at the moment, and they're releasing these in batches. So, like, I think three or four at a time, once a month or once every 2 months. So they have some legs there. If they continue to release these once every few months for the next couple of years, they'll be fine. Just continuing to push on monetization for those brawlers. The next big thing was new IP purchase mechanics. So if you click on, Larry and Lari are a pretty good example here, but you can see here that there's a tier purchase. You make the first initial purchase, and then you get a bunch of free unlocks throughout the time period afterwards.
Nice.
I don't know if you want to share, Mate, the ones that we have in our paper doc. They show a little bit different because some of the tiers on are gem purchases, which is a slight variation from this Larry and Lari purchase. And they also include star drops inside.
Yeah, it's like a variation of what's been kind of trending lately. I think Monopoly Go was one of the first one to use it, where you have like two free kind of steps, then a purchased one, then
this
more
one,
free steps.
This one, you mean?
Yeah, those two, both of those kind of work in conjunction. Like, so really what you're seeing here is that there's a gem initial purchase that unlocks a few free purchases. And what's really important here is we're basically giving you free gacha pulls, especially a legendary gacha
pulls.
Gacha pulls. And you know, this is them reintroducing luck mechanics back into the game. I'd like to see them do this more, you know, like bring back more paid gacha, but like if the community didn't like it previously, maybe do something like it's only cosmetics. I think that would probably be supported, which also makes sense with, you know, them staffing up their live ops team a bit more.
Yeah, but like the mechanic is really clever because like you think you're getting something free, but it's kind of counted in the price of the paid stuff.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the amount of currency you're getting here, so these two images, that's 7,000 coins plus a brawler skin plus 7,200 coins plus three pulls on a gacha. That is super heavily discounted, like a 10x or plus discount. So it's a really, really, really good offer for players. I worry a little bit about cannibalization, but it seems to be working for them.
Why do you worry about cannibalization?
Because typically of the hangover effect?
Yeah, because of hangover effects. Typically, when you discount things at 18, 20x the value, you see pretty significant hangover effects the month afterwards. But I think they're combating this with the sheer amount of content. Like they're just pumping out so much new content that the hangovers are sort of like being avoided because people just move on to the next new thing, right? And they're just discounting the next new thing at the same rate. And it's almost like the original rate
isn't that like way to hell?
Sort of. I think it's like the original price is what's the right term? You guys got to help me out here. It's like an anchoring price, right? Like it's a fake anchor, right? Nobody really ever buys at the real price that's in the store because they're always only buying through these discounts. That's basic game design economy. Yeah.
For those who don't know, like, what are we talking about regarding hangover effects and like things like this, it's pretty much just imagine like a baseline revenue of your game, and then suddenly there's a spike because offers going in, especially those 10x or whatever x discount. So there's like a big spike, everything looking great, but then after that there's the hangover effect, which is like a valley, like literally the other reverse spike, where suddenly your baseline revenue goes down because people have enough resources to continue playing without buying
anything. They don't need to spend anything.
And the hangover happens when this valley, the size of that valley is bigger than the spike of the revenue spike, which means you cut out from your baseline anyway. Mm. Therefore, you're in minus altogether.
Yeah.
If you didn't do the special offer, that you will be in a better place.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing about that, though, that some people don't understand is sometimes that is intentional. Yeah. And the thing that a lot of people miss is not just like balancing your player economy, but balancing your player base, right? So for example, like if you have tiered competition, this is basically the lessons we've learned from Game of War, right? Where you wound up having like these really high-end whale like super players, but nobody to beat up on. So like the middle just went away. And so then they started running all these sales and promotions to get lower level players up to the mid tier, right? And so sometimes for the health of the, not the player economy, but the player base so that you can do matchmaking and things like that, you might want to like have these kind of sales to get players higher up in levels and things like that.
Yeah, I think we called it feeding the whales.
Yes. And I mean, like, this is not
a... continue sharing if you want.
Yeah.
This is not a Supercell problem, but there's also business reasons why you're going to want to sometimes spike revenue during certain times of year, especially when you're like considering UA budgets and that type of thing, right? Like you might be okay with a hangover effect in February or whatever, you know, or vice versa, maybe not. So outside of those like core monetization and economy changes, there's been some really strong social features. So they have new 5v5 game modes. This was introduced, I think, in November and December. They have a huge range of different modes now. Jakob, if you go to your events screen, you'll see 5v5 Brawl Ball there.
Yeah, Brawl Ball, okay.
And this just allows for a much more chaotic gameplay experience and for larger groups of friends to play together.
That's for me.
So it's amazing. Like there's a lot going on the map right now that's a lot harder to do some of that macro gameplay that Joe was talking about because there's just so much damage being applied all the time.
That would look so great in the creatives. Oh my God, guys, if you're listening, please put it in the creatives. Seriously, like that's amazing. 5v5, that's what, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's by far my favorite gameplay mode right now. The second thing you can see again on Jacob's home screen, if he didn't lose his last match, I'm not sure if he did or not, is the new win streak mechanic.
Yeah, he did.
But it's in the recording. So if you go back, then it's definitely visible there.
Go to player profile. Click on Test-O-Matic. There you go. Max win streak. You can see this little flame thing here.
Nice. It's pretty cool.
Super, super smart piece of UI. Every single player I know that's on my friends list constantly screenshots these and share them to each other. So it's like this sort of
peacocking.
It's a peacocking, sort of like a small win that they used to have in the game, but they brought back. And now when you do win streaks, you get extra trophies. So you progress even faster. Ooh. Players are really, you know, figuring out really smart ways to kind of maximize that by getting brawlers that have low amounts of trophies on them and then getting it, stacking a really, really high win streak and pushing on their total trophy pile that way.
Jacob, come on, man. Yeah. I only play for half a day. Come on, dude.
Yeah. It's okay. Hey.
I think mine is at like my max was like 106, but I was playing on low trophy brawlers just to cheese it a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
Hey. How is it even possible?
Yeah.
Nice.
a few more community focused things. You can hop back into the paper if you want, Mate, because that's where we have screenshots of this. So the crux of this is that they have these community events where basically the community can do an action, and through that action, they unlock extra additional wards for the entire community base. I think it's, I'm not sure if it's like just completing brawls or killing other brawlers or winning matches. I'm not sure, but...
this is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the top screenshot there is the... Yeah. And then we'll talk about the second one here in a second. But like by doing a certain amount of, I think it's killing a certain amount of brawlers, you unlock specific pulls on the gacha, you do double star drops, is that first green star there. And then all the way at the top end, you see what's called coin shower, which is a super, super attractive offer for all of the free-to-play players, because it means every time you get a win in the game, you get free coins. So like every single free-to-play player is pushing super hard in engagement to try to unlock that for the community. And then the top star there is a legendary pull for everybody for free. So like there's a lot of free value for free-to-play players. And then the second screenshot here, you can see of how they're kind of pushing on that with quests. So they have these six unique quests here that are, three of them use this play again mechanic, which is ideally pushing players to just re-up the next play. So they push on their session length a little bit. And then the other three are play six or play end matches with a team. And again, these are just trying to push on sort of that K factor type KPI where I'm having longer sections and I'm having sessions with my friends. And in theory, you know, those types of KPI uplifts oftentimes result in higher engagement. They result in higher monetization because you're playing with friends who are also paying, et cetera. So yeah, those are some really cool community focused items that are also pushing on their DAO from inside the game without having to, you know, purely go on do UA. Yeah, so last thing, this has been kind of hard to figure out because it's not viewing for everybody, and the only way we've sort of seen this is through Twitter, but they are starting to trial ad tech in the game in limited countries.
So that's those other ads you mentioned in the beginning?
Yeah, yeah, yes. They are. Certain countries now have the option to unlock a view this ad to get this benefit type of thing.
Ooh.
Inside the Brawl Pass, you can, I think you can get like the second reward every end tiers. That is unlocked via the ad view for some of those countries.
Video, okay, yeah. Interesting.
They're doing rewarded video, as well as like a second freebie in the store, I believe, is also via that ad. Now, that could be some of that could be just like people misreporting it on Twitter, but that I'm fairly certain those are the two rewarded ad placements. And I would anticipate them rolling that out further once, you know, these initial tests are going on.
I think I saw the screen when the recap YouTuber was talking about the ads, like these would be the perks that you would get these from.
Okay. Aspects. Yeah, that makes sense. Those are pretty significant rewards for just watching some rewarded videos.
Yeah.
You know, in these types of games, which have historically been pretty IP heavy, when they introduce ads, so long as they're doing it in a way that doesn't massively cannibalize their economy, you can expect like 20-30% total revenue uplifts from them. So that's a huge increase on a game that's making, you know, $1 billion a year or whatever.
Is it legal now to like discriminate players where you can show ads to one group but not another? Is that? It's been a while since I looked at this. So.
No, it's like completely normal.
They're currently doing it, so I guess it passed legal department.
Yeah, because if you can't, I mean, I would certainly for some countries it may make sense, but I would say if you do this across your whole audience in the West, you're going to cannibalize the shit out of your game, in my opinion. But
it depends on the rewards. It like really depends on which portion of your
economy. The placements as well. Yeah, it's like
I just don't think that you know, in terms of the value exchange for an ad versus like the IAP, it's just so off, right?
Just one tidbit, like if you just look at what Heyday is doing currently, they have segmenting the payers and like non-payers there. For instance, if you're a non-payer there, only after level 10, they only give you even the option to watch rewarded videos, like this kind of whole theater thing.
That's exactly how you should do it, if that's legal.
Segmenting. That's currently in Heyday. So what I'm saying is basically that I don't think so. They really will go with this kind of usual setup like we have in, you know, most of the industry where there's like IPs and ads live in like one ecosystem, like whatever, Survivor.io, whatever, like these games, they will probably
What's wrong with Survivor.io?
Like we're talking about Supercell. That's the thing. So we want to get Felix on the podcast at some point talking about the ads in Supercell games. So they will probably segment it anyway. So it's like if you're a payer, I think you either get this for free or like I guess you get it for free anyway through Battle Pass or like having purchases. But like I don't think so. They will kind of cross into the, you know, paying audience.
And even if it's just it's up to you if you want to watch the rewarded video or not. It's not interstitial.
Man, it's premium experience. Supercell premium experience. They're very orthodox about these things.
Okay. Okay. Whatever.
So I think the last bit of stuff for me on the deep dive, I can't just talk about the good things. I have to also kind of like dive back into things that I'd want to improve as a PM. And if you open up the store, there's a lot of like unoptimized items here. They're not really doing a huge amount of personalization. For example, I'll make like a $100 purchase, and then the next day there'll be a bundle for like $4.
Yeah,
and you know, like we know from
everybody knows.
from the hiring that's going on at Supercell, this is primarily done because they don't actually have a PM working on the game, and literally it's the, you know, like the GM is making the offers in the game every now and then. And they don't have a huge team to kind of roll out this offer strategy.
Yeah.
So, you know, they need to either have an engineer create more programmatic systems to allow them to do personalized offers for different types of things. Right now, they're only doing it on the brawlers that you own.
They have the data team, right? So they can create segmentation and then just, you know, talk to the team and then show the offers.
I need to talk to you guys after this podcast about what they got on the team and what they don't.
Okay.
Yeah, but keep in mind that before Mate, they pretty much still followed this kind of cell paradigm. Yeah. Like very lean teams.
Yeah,
and like, I know for instance, just at Triplide when we were doing Battle Legion, we had just one person that was doing the offers. It took so much time to do the offers properly. And it wasn't like that big of automation, whatever, it just looks through Excel sheets, but it has price segmentation, it has personalization. Yeah, we included like four behavioral factors of gameplay into it, and it could still like take one person's whole time. Just offers, nothing else.
Yeah, okay.
How many people would you say work on Heyday just based on the $250 million they make a year?
I guess it's like super small, like less than 20.
Yeah, like five people work on that game.
Of course.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, but you know, like $50 million per headcount.
Yeah,
easy.
They just hired our friend Maya and as a GM, and then most probably just going to grow the team quite heavily this year. So,
yeah.
Wait, how big is the Brawl Stars team?
Like 50?
Yeah, they are growing. Frank has mentioned they are growing to 45 people. I think right now they're at like 39 or 40.
Okay. So they're making a few more hires. Clearly a departure from their old model.
There is no sell anymore.
It's a very big sell.
Very big sell, yeah.
If you look at their LinkedIn, they're specifically hiring in UA admon, UA and admon and product managers, even though they're not all calling them all product managers. Just certain teams call them PMs, certain teams don't. And then some of them are also hiring in like UA, or sorry, in artists so that they can bring in more content, you know, which makes sense for live ops team. Back on the personalized offer stuff, they aren't targeting my wallet, so they don't know, like, they're not sending me offers based on my wallet economy. They're not sending me offers based on my spending history. They're only sending me offers based on the brawlers I have. And what they're doing there is just showing me skins, basically, for the brawlers I own. So there's a lot that they can still take advantage of there. So when we talk about future growth opportunities, once they bring in these PMs, and once they have that in that person on the team, they can really drive growth there.
Once they start running proper UA, like this is fucking, this is gonna be on the moon. Like, yeah, this is like seriously.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, that the whole thing that you pointed there, Mate, that like the biggest skew is what, like some kind of a gem offer. which is like when I look at games and even when
the popular
talk to my clients or whoever like I'm kind of working with, and like first thing I like, give me a pie chart of your like revenue sources on IAP, and if it's like more than 50% is coming from these anchoring gem prices, it means you don't have an offer system that's, you know, being enabled in the game, which just means like people need to willingly go there and willingly click on it. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah,
but I would agree with you, Ken. Like personalized offers, especially like using machine learning to like optimize bundles and things like that, or even just simple, you know,
just simple segmentation,
simple step up, step down, all that kind of stuff is like so easy. So
There's not like as Ken said, there's not even the basic, you know, RFM formula here, the eShop one, like recency, frequency, monetary value. Yep. It's not taken into account. Even that's not there, the baseline. Nope. And we're not talking about ML stuff.
Yeah, but you know, as you mentioned again, like there's actually no one on the team who are
literally
who can do it. Yeah, so it's like
all these like massive economy changes that you guys are seeing in the game is because they hired a game designer from Blizzard who was an associate director of product at Blizzard, who's now a game designer at Supercell, and he's like also got a really strong economy in mind, Jeffrey Shen. And he's bringing in all these new ideas to these to the economy. So that like just a few hires can really make this game explode.
Yeah.
Well, whatever they're doing, I mean, we've seen the performance, right? All those guys should get like big bonuses for whatever they were doing.
You can be sure that they are treated very well at Supercell, for sure.
And I still believe like this is just the beginning, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. There's like two more things I'd probably want to poke at here that they can improve on. The event structure is pretty random. We talked, I think Joe, you mentioned that there seems to be always something that like for every type of player in the events, right? Like, and that has pros and has cons. Yep. There's a big pro there is that whatever persona you are, you have a mode that you can play. But from a con perspective, like that's really bad for live ops because I'm not pushing people into a live ops path that I can then monetize. It's just like, here's a smattering of events, go play them. And typically in like mid-core and hardcore games, there is a focused event where you're pushing people into a funnel that you're then monetizing as they progress through that event funnel. And that doesn't exist at all in this game outside of the Brawl Pass. And that's initial purchase and then no purchases really after that. You can jump some gems to like skip levels, but I don't know a single player that's a whale or a free-to-play player that does that. So yeah, that's a pretty big issue. They need to figure out sort of their live ops event design so that they can push people into the events a little bit better. And then probably, I think the last one I'd probably want to cover is just the season quest cadence. They've actually made changes on this recently. You used to get quests, I think it was like twice a week inside of season quests. And now they've increased the frequency for it to be once every 24 hours. I'd still say that this is not enough. That's one session a day. And I think if you dump that to once every 6 hours, you'd get, you know, three sessions a day out of a user. You know, you'd have a lot more sticky players. But this is a pretty controversial topic amongst the Brawl Star community because some people only want to come in once a day and farm all their wins. And a lot of players wouldn't like to have to come in three times a day. Just experience from previous games I've worked on, three times a day is better than one time a day. So that's my takes.
Three shorter sessions is better than one longer?
Typically, because you're exposing them to things like the store more often from a product perspective.
Like you're creating kind of like a habit of playing?
You're reinforcing
or...
the habit,
more
of
habits.
Course.
Okay.
Yeah. Put them through the loop more times, really. Now, Jakob, if you wanted to go on any of your other ones.
Like, I guess that is like pretty deep dive there. Like, what I would say is that I don't know when, maybe you tell me, when they added the... Because last time I saw Brawl Stars, there was no like additional power layer through these gadgets and gear. I don't know when that was actually added, but I think there's a good direction now with the hypercharges, which I guess I'm not able to share because I don't have a hypercharge brawler.
But there's additional close power out. Layer. Close this out and go to Shelly. Close the Barley, and then you should have Shelly, the first one. Yeah, her. Yeah. Number 11, you can see there.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Yeah, so it's, again, like, additional power layer here, which I think also wasn't really, like, the Like, you don't see it in Supercell games that much, that they're going this usual kind of a, you finish one power progression layer, we add one on top of it, and they can scarcely add, like, even, like, I don't know, Town Hall, whatever Town Hall is that currently in, like, Clash of Clans, they don't really add them, like there's no tomorrow, like, usual games do this, like, you know, they just increase the maximum level and put, like, one more power progression. Like, once pretty much your kind of payers eat out the content, you always want to add one more. So, like, this is, I would say, one of the shifts there, that, like, they're doubling down on scaling things through, like, HP damage scaling, which can go forever, but again, bloats at some point. So that's good. And that's, I think, is one of those things, as JK mentioned, that could be the main source driving the revenue spikes here, because suddenly this is new for everyone. Like, what you do with power progression layers, it's an entry point. So everybody can, you know, start from scratch there, because it's a new currency circuit. Everybody needs to farm it out. Like, usually, you know, everybody, meaning the ones that are at the end, that they just have everything leveled up the same.
Yeah.
So that's like a big kind of a spend depth that's suddenly unlocked. But we'll see later in like 1 to 2 months if it persists or not. Because the other thing that I would say, they will probably need to, and I guess that's what's happening here with the Brawl Pass and the, like, the free hero unlock, they will also need to speed up the progression to do the same thing as Aino was talking in that talk in Clash of Clans, that, you know, the more power progressions layers you have there, the more kind of a, this kind of whole lifetime of a game prolongs for a player starting now instead of whatever 2018. So now we need to accelerate his progression in the start of the game in order to catch up with people there. So now the game feels kind of more generous, but again, it's an illusion. So that works great.
Illusion. Yeah. Nice. Okay. UA.
Ready, UA?
UA? UA? Here you go.
There is no UA. Thank you very much.
There's no UA. Thank you. Yeah. We can end here. Thanks for listening. Jakub, can you?
We ate him all the time. Sorry.
Yeah. Let me to share, because I mean, there's very little UA global analysis, which is in the sensor tower, just to say what they are actually running. Google, meaning YouTube, and that was basically it until last week. So that was the biggest channel for the UA in I think all geos in terms of US, Germany, and South Korea. Obviously, like, those are the three biggest countries for Brawl Stars from the revenue perspective of what we discussed at the beginning. But yeah, we have only two channels here, which is the Google and the Google. So it's Display and YouTube. What I can share is actually some creatives, which are a little bit interesting, a bit more interesting, which are here. And we have some TikTok coming finally as well, since like beginning of January. But we can actually start with this. You don't expect anything crazy. It's just very traditional CGI 3D elements, gameplay oriented. No,
nothing's fake.
Nothing is fake. Nice. Yeah, nothing is fake. You know, we have all, like, nice. If
so
we have this,
it's
UGC, right? And it's a little bit annoying. So the thing is, like, with TikTok and they, it looks like, yeah, they are starting to pay attention to more channels since like mid January. TikTok is one of them. And honestly, I see only three creatives. I think the TikTok Creative Challenge would be an amazing addition here. And what TikTok Creative Challenge means is you actually work with TikTok creators. You just put the brief out there and TikTok creators are kind of doing all these videos for you. And it can be anything from 5 to 10 to 20 per week. And since they are working with so many influencers already on YouTube, I mean, this would be a great source of new creatives, which are not super traditional, right? Because we have this, that's basically it, right? So it's kind of, you know, I'm a little bit sad, because that's basically the whole UA kind of operations for this game. And I really hope this is going to be way more than just a few videos here and there, and a little bit more spending as we go in 2024.
Why do you think that is? Is it because they can live off of organic so well? Is it because they're just not making enough per user to buy users? Is it like, why is this the way it is? Not enough headcount? Like,
I guess not enough headcount than like how traditionally they are kind of built. Because you said like small team, like they don't do that much UA. Ilka said they like all their kind of
90%.
90% is organics, but you like you can live with this to a certain point. But if you're scaling like this, you want to grow on the UA side, and you want to grow quite a lot, because it's just like it's a shame like not to pull like put gas into this machine.
Yeah. Well, Mate, I'm seeing like just looking at data.ai, it seems like they ramped up. Well, they ramped up user acquisition around January 7th.
Yes.
And maybe to the point that like I know we talked about before, like I think Ken, you were mentioning how are they gonna, or maybe it was you, Jakob, that we were talking about how do they combat like the hangover effect. And it seems like, you know, January 6th where you had the big spike. So maybe they are pushing UA to just try to like not have the numbers come down so much. But yeah, for whatever reason, it does seem like they, I mean, they don't do a ton of UA compared to like, you know, some of the other games that do massive amounts. But
that's the thing. Yeah. It's just like making 40 million a month now, with almost like zero UA. Like, can you imagine like how much money they can make with a serious UA? Yeah.
But it does seem like they kind of tripled or quadrupled UA from prior to January 7th or something.
All these like nice videos. This is old video I remember from the launch date. So this is really the old one. And it's now like they recently launched it on Instagram and Facebook. And it's still very small. I mean, we might see like some new numbers as we go. But, you know, all these other companies, Facebook, Google, TikTok, Unity, AppLovin, ironSource, like with this amount of budgets that you could potentially deploy in the UA, like you should be everywhere. Just look at Whiteout Survival. Like you open up Fridge, like there's like 10 videos jumping on in your face that is actually Whiteout Survival.
How big do you think is their influencer budget?
Oh, Jesus, like
huge.
Yeah, few millions.
Yeah, easily. If you look at the promo videos for each patch, you can kind of just see how much money and polish they put into community management. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, like you remember like the launch date where they kind of invited in all the like creators and influencers to launch the game, and I mean, yes, that's like one of the pillars that you have from the UA point of view, but like it's not scalable. Yeah, Supercell, but
honestly, like the whole industry has been bitching about this thing for like I don't know how many years, and I think we're either missing some kind of key point or there's some kind of giant misconception that why Supercell is not spending shitloads of money on UA if the games are making so much money, you know.
I think like, it's because they don't need to.
That could be it, literally. Like, because for instance, the influencer marketing is just cheaper, and through UA, it would cost more. That could be one of the things, literally, like Ken said.
But maybe this is the profit maximizing UA spend. I mean, do we really know if more UA is going to profit maximize?
Would it be profitable?
That's a good question.
Would it be profitable? let's not go into that.
Yeah,
let's not go into that direction, please. It's no, but I can still see like so many things, like, you know, we mentioned like in terms of the creatives, like different modes, like all of these, like this is super basic. I mean, really, like this is
by
default.
Like, I think we're missing something, because like what's bearing them from literally just like buying like full-fledged UA team from some other company, you know, overpaying them? Like, what's stopping? Nothing.
Pause
my
the
understanding
podcast
is they
right
have
here.
Some expert UA folks.
I can tell you guys why, but I can pause the
So there's no additional like audience, which seems like very vague. I mean, there's always
8 billion phones in the world.
It's always new audience, and if you bought all of them already, then like fucking retarget them.
Yeah, that's
okay, but what's that? Okay, maybe a different podcast. But what's the retargeting capabilities now?
I would say very little again for Supercell.
Well, why? You have the Supercell ID, so you have like lots of different kind of.
The headcount required to do it. Like they need to build the live ops team that can go and push all those campaigns.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, sure. But then, look, I mean, all of like this is, you know, like can be, okay, this is nice, actually. But it can be so much more we to see. But yeah, I mean, that's another discussion, I guess, that we don't see something.
All right, there. So should we wrap this up with Outlook, guys? Should we close this out?
Okay. I'm looking forward to see how this is going to end on the moon, literally. If they keep doing this, like what they are doing with all the content, and it's not going to be like a highway to hell, then yes, okay. This is just the beginning.
So maybe to wrap this up, let me bring back the three questions that I posed at the beginning of this discussion. So first, the first question was the recent spike. What did they do? And it sounds like from what I'm hearing from you, Ken, it was like more around offers, sales, and they've made some structural changes in terms of the game. Would you guys, is that the basic understanding? Yeah. Or what else was, so what did
like
I miss?
95% of it probably is okay. That the new sales, new structures, new economy management.
Oh, wait. Key hires. That's what you said as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Growing the team that, you know, allowed them to actually put more emphasis on this.
The second question I asked was around the live ops changes. So it sounds like what you said, Ken, is they do have a bigger team. They're not going like the old school, less than 10 people team type of thing. They are delivering a lot more content. And I don't know, is there anything else that we should know about any specific live ops changes? It does seem like you mentioned they also have brought in specific experts in some areas like economy and things like that. Anything else we need to know?
I just don't know how fast it's going to be, right? Like we saw the letter from Ilka, it was like last year, right? It was like the start of last year. Yeah. And, you know, they're based in Helsinki. It takes a long time to get the best minds in the world to Helsinki to work on these teams, right? Yeah. And they're even starting to consider some hybrid work. They've been historically very against any form of work outside of the studio. So it might be difficult for them to get the teams in needed to scale up, but you know, depending on how much they push, we'll see. I'm not super optimistic about how fast that's going to be.
Okay. And then the last big question, the general longer term outlook, do we expect a new baseline? So I mentioned at the beginning, 2021, there was a certain baseline that they had. It dropped in 22, 23. Looking now in 24 and beyond, do we expect the game to have an elevated baseline based upon the things that we're seeing, the new kind of live ops team and the changes that they're making? What is your general outlook for the game?
I can go with mine a little bit. So they're pretty much just a few points. They're much less generous now because you cannot go infinite in brawl passes. You cannot just, you know, buy with gems, farm out gems, and do vice versa. So that's nothing there. There needs to be specific dollar spend either or normal or plus pass, whatever. So that's there. Then there was new spend depth added on top of it because you have the hypercharge, new power progression layer, which I think will last for some time now because all of those, I don't know, 10 or how many brawlers were added, and they slowly add more. But I would imagine it would be like this kind of initial blob and then a little bit more stabilization. And hopefully by adding more and more those brawlers into the hypercharge power progression layer, they can keep up a little bit higher baseline, definitely. And then the last thing, somebody really should optimize the offers and like all the other things, and hopefully this can kind of keep up the hangover, or let's say the giant spike from going completely down and like just going the other way around, and maybe can even return to back to the loot boxes or gachas as they are kind of, I would say, slowly creeping in back into the game by changing their philosophy. And on top of it, we talk about ads, which again could help the game. So there's pretty positive outlook, I would say. It probably won't last as it is, as high. I would be surprised, but it will definitely be higher as the like 2023-2022 baseline.
Yeah, I agree with everything Jakob said.
Yeah.
Ate?
Yeah, I'm already seeing this as a very positive like beginning of the year. Then on top of whatever you said, guys, then the more UA, maybe, you know, I'm still all for it. That can help. But yeah, okay. Guys, Brawl Stars team, kudos, amazing job.
Great job.
Yeah. And good job. You know, and again, I should not comment too much because I've only played it for half a day. But I would say I was surprised. I was like, dude, a Micro Focus? Like, I'm more of a MOBA guy. I love like that strategy and stuff. But I know in terms of the Western market, more Micro Focus seems to be the play in terms of top down. But yeah, I definitely think it's a great game. I'll probably be playing it a little bit more, and definitely was surprised at what a good job they did.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. Great.
So to wrap this up, does anyone have any last messages for our audience about Brawl Stars or anything else, or should we wrap this mofo up?
Yeah, we can wrap it up. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Love you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
See you around.
Cheers. See you around.
Cheers. Cheers.